I guess it was back in the 1960s, latter part of it, that Rick Hughes was unleashed upon the world. And he has spoken in thousands of venues since then. I met him back in 1971, and we've been hanging around since then. Rick is up from Birmingham. He's El Presidente of Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, and he graces our pulpit once a year, usually in August, and he's here for his annual message to you. It talks about the seekers and the peakers, and by the time he's done today, you'll know which one you are. Please welcome to St. Charles and a Grace Doctrine Church, none other than Big Rick Hughes.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. I'm glad you were playing the flute, ma'am. I enjoyed that. I wasn't sure if that was the flute or the piccolo, because I'm not much up on instruments. But the last church I was in that had a piccolo player, that was dangerous. There's even a joke about the piccolo player, if you remember. Any of you have a warped sense of humor like me? But it is a great honor and a great privilege to be here at Grace Doctrine Church this morning. Thank you so very much, Joe, for having me back again. Joe Henry, thank you for the dinner last night and being at your house. We were up late in prayer last night. What was the name of that guy that was leading us in prayer? I don't remember his name, but we don't know. But we had a wonderful time, and it's obvious that we just have a great time of fellowship together whenever I get to be around Joe and Joe Henry and Gary and his wife. We have a wonderful time together. So thank you for letting me be with you today. The graphics overhead a while ago that your pastor put up, seekers or peepers, is a message that I want to share with you today, some information that I think would be pertinent to you. And I think it will help you understand why all those books and tapes you gave out never got used. What happened to them? Because probably like me, you have given out hundreds of tapes and hundreds of books, and probably less than 1% of the people that you handed them out to actually took them and used them. And so what we want to do is identify what the problem is and what's going on there. But I got a question to ask you first, and it doesn't make any difference if you're here personally, face to face, or if you're watching by streaming video or watching on a DVD. The question is, why are you watching? Why are you here? What's the purpose of you being here today? Is it just ritual without reality, or is it you're here for a reason? Are you seeking something? And that's what we want to talk about. Not long ago, my friend and my pastor, Bobby Thiem, pastor of Baraka Church, did a message and is still doing this message, hundreds of hours into it, on the life of Christ. And he made an issue, a point, about the Magi who came from Persia seeking Jesus Christ, seeking the King of the Jews. And Bobby said they were seekers of truth. That rang a bell with me, because so very few people are actually seekers of truth. You know that, and I know that as well. There's a verse of Scripture that really rings true about this in Psalm 119, verse 45. It says, I will walk around free because I sought out your truth or your doctrine. That's the one thing that Bible doctrine should have done for you today, if you're here, is it should have set you free. Knowing Jesus Christ and believing in Him, receiving Him as your Savior, does set you free from the penalty and the perjury of sin. But also knowing doctrine sets you free from being locked into human viewpoint thinking. It gives you a new way to think, a new outlook on life. It gives you a new personal sense of destiny as one of your problem-solving devices. You should know that. So these statements that Bobby made a few weeks ago from the pulpit at Baraka caused me to think about the many years that I've traveled and the thousands of people that I have presented truth to, teenagers as well as adults, and how many of them were actually seeking some answers? How many of them actually had a hunger to know truth? And or how many of them just wanted to take a little peek into the spiritual side of life? So I have a couple of principles that I want you to write down this morning before we begin. And I think these principles will make sense to you. And here's the first one. Curiosity is not positive volition. Curiosity is not positive volition. I have met hundreds of people that are curious. And I have given hundreds of people tapes and books, but that doesn't mean they're positive. I kind of thought they were because they asked the right questions, but I was misled, probably like you. In order for curiosity to be positive volition, the second principle is that curiosity must turn into conviction. If there's no conviction, then the curiosity is not even valid. And most of the time, it's not curiosity at all. I'll explain what it really is. So curiosity is not positive volition, and curiosity must become conviction if it's to be valid, and then conviction must turn into cognition. Conviction must turn into cognition if there's going to be any type of spiritual growth. And this is where you'll find the difference between the winners and the losers. You see, winners are driven to learn and to apply the Word of God in their life. Losers, and I'm talking about believers, people that are saved. I don't mean they've lost their salvation. What I mean is that in time, they lose the ability to function independently of the world's system of thinking. And they lose the phenomenal escrow blessings in time and eternity they could have had. Losers are content to just dabble a little bit before they move on. You remember the Brill Cream commercial, Little Dab Do You? Well, a lot of people, when it comes to Bible doctrine, when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God, like goes on from this pulpit, people are more interested in just dabbling a little bit. Take a peek, and then they walk away. And really, the situation is that usually these sort of people have a problem, and they're looking for an instant solution. They have an angle. They want something. And they're not in it for the long haul because it requires too much effort. Or, better put, it doesn't make them the center of attention. And that's where we begin to see the difference between positive volition, who's the seeker, and the curious person who's a peeper. The peeper wants to be the center of attention. And if you don't make him the center of attention, then he doesn't stay around very long. Now, don't get me wrong. We all like to be noticed. Every one of us do. But I'm speaking about those who want to be the center of attention at every function, especially here at the church. They demonstrate an excessive need for approval. We call these people, there's actually a term for these people. It's called histrionic personality disorder, HPD. And it's a real disorder. These sort of people can be lively and dramatic, even enthusiastic. But they are not seeking truth. They're seeking attention from you. The reason they came with you to church is they were seeking something from you. They weren't seeking truth. They were seeking something from you. And they're not in it for the lifestyle of learning and applying the Word of God. They'll take the material you offer, but they are not seeking what you're suggesting. And this may help explain why so few people actually grow to be members of the Pivot. You thought there was a spark of positive volition, but there really wasn't. They were just seeking attention from you. You know, seeking is a favorite pastime of people in big cities like St. Louis. I'm staying at the hotel, and there are a lot of people seeking a lot of stuff this morning. I got on the elevator, and I looked a little weird because I was the only person that had on a tie. Everybody else either had on hunting camos or soccer uniforms. But I think if I put it adequately, we are an addicted nation of seekers, aren't we? For example, Joe and I went to a mall yesterday, a very nice mall. It's called the Bird Mall. That's what Joe calls it, the Bird Mall. You probably noticed the one with the dove that hangs over the mall down there. Well, people were walking around all over the mall seeking something. We were seeking something. We were seeking some tea. So we knew what we wanted. But some people don't really know what they want. They just go to the mall and walk around trying to fill up the empty spaces in their life. So what they wind up doing is they spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people that they don't even like. Because they're just seeking, you know, seeking something to give their life some sort of meaning. I mean, you call it the American dream. America's full of it. People are dreaming. People flock to America seeking some sort of happiness. If I can just get to America, then I can find this happiness. And it's America has promoted this mirage come to America and you can find happiness and success. And that's not true. Some people come seeking fame. And today's reality-based television shows are the perfect platform for instant stardom, aren't they? Shows like American Idol and other talent-based shows are the road to fame, or at least a ticket to a lifetime of total humiliation on internet mockery. Every year, thousands of young people flock to New York or Los Angeles, and they're seeking to make it in the entertainment business. Lou can tell you about his children in the entertainment business. His are one of the few that actually have made it. Thousands seeking to make it big in the entertainment business, seeking to make it in the fashion world or on Wall Street. Fortune and fame are promised for those who brave it all and risk it all to come to the big city, seeking something. What they're really seeking is a life of happiness. They're seeking a life that has meaning and a life with rewards. That's what they're seeking. And some will find a career. Some will lose their way, but most are going to find the same thing that John D. Rockefeller found out when he said these words, "I have made millions, and they bought me no happiness, none whatsoever." So the purpose of the message that I want to give you today is this. I want to ask you what it is in your life that you're actually seeking. Why are you here? Why do you listen to the Word of God? Why did you show up in this church this morning? Why are you listening to this MP3 or watching this DVD? Or what's the deal with you? That's a legitimate question. And I'll tell you what David said. In Chronicles 16, David penned a song of thanksgiving for bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the tabernacle that he had erected in Jerusalem. And in 1 Chronicles 16:11, we find these words. Here's what he said. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face forevermore. Now the Net Bible translates it this way. Seek the Lord and the strength that he gives. Seek his presence continually. The Hebrew word for seek is the word darash. I cannot write Hebrew, so don't worry about that. But that's your Hebrew word for seek, and it means to inquire of or to consult, and this is a direct command from God the Holy Spirit through David. So when we have this word seek, you are mandated to seek God. You are mandated to seek God, to seek his will. It's a direct command from the Holy Spirit through King David, Priest David. In the New Testament, now we have a different word. We have Z-E-T-E-O, zeteo. And zeteo is also found in the New Testament, and it is a word seek as well. Now, here's the question for you. How do you seek God? What exactly are the mechanics? That's something, when people talk to me about stuff like, that's one thing doctrine has taught me is talk mechanics. So when someone says to me, you need to seek God, brother, the first question I'm going to ask, okay, how do you do it? Well, we got two people. We got believers and unbelievers. And if you are a believer, this is done by analyzing a biblical inventory of ideas in your mind by learning the mind of Christ. As you acquire the mind of Christ, now you're able to seek God's direction in your life. You're beginning to be able to understand your personal sense of destiny. You know how to work off of the faith rest drill in your life. So when you're seeking God's will as a believer, you are analyzing, reasoning. That means you're weighing the cost of this decision that you make. You're praying under the filling of the Holy Spirit. You want the Lord to give you direction, and then you come to a conclusion. So you're analyzing, reasoning, praying, and then come to a conclusion. But remember this, God always, always will speak to you through the Scripture. And I'll show you why in a moment. I'll show you why missionaries, when they go to foreign soils, the first thing they do is develop an indigenous copy of the Bible so that the people can hear God speaking to them. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says for the unbeliever, the disadvantaged one, this, seek, There's our word zeteo, and it is a present active imperative in the morphology of the Greek. This is not a request. This is a mandate. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added to you. All of what things? Well, what's in this passage is dealing with logistical needs as an unbeliever. Needs that you have in this world to survive every day. You need a job, you need food, you need clothes, you need shelter. So He promised that He would meet all of your logistical needs if you would put priority number one, if you would put priority number one in your life, Bible doctrine. There's a promise here. And then He promised to give you on top of that blessing in time and blessing in eternity, as well as to give you great happiness and contentment in your life if you will put priority number one, Bible doctrine. So our first mandate is to make doctrine priority number one in our life. And if you're an unbeliever, to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, you know, you don't have any righteousness. The Bible tells us there are none that are righteous, not even one. Job's told you that many times. And we know that we get our righteousness when we come to the cross and we believe in Christ. We know that God the Father imputed to Him all of our sin. We know that. And we know that He who knew no sin was made sin for us. But we also know that we are made the righteousness of God through Him. So if you're going to have the same righteousness that God has, that same plus R, absolute righteousness, it has to come through the cross, no other way. So that's why the Bible clearly says it's not possible for you to develop your own righteousness. This is all found in 2 Corinthians 5:21, by the way, if you've ever wondered where that verse is. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Now, there's one condition you got to understand as we start getting into this study today. If you are going to seek answers from God, there's a condition. There's only one thing that God expects out of you. If I were to give you a quiz or a test today, I said, what is the condition? And here it is. You must demonstrate faith. That's the condition. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For the one who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Here we're back on our words, zeteo again, to the ones that seek Him. If you're going to seek Him, what? Without faith, not going to work. You're going to have a little faith. It doesn't mean you operate on rationalism or empiricism. It means you operate on pisticism. You operate on faith. The believer's lifestyle is an unusual lifestyle for people because it's a lifestyle that they don't understand. You seem to have some confidence that they don't have. You seem to have some direction that they don't have, and they don't really know what that is. It kind of mystifies them a little bit, you know, because you believe the book. You know, and so since you're believing the book, they're going to come up with some pejorative term to define you like one of them Bible thumpers. That's right, because you believe what's in that book. Why do you believe what's in that book? Because you have faith that this is the canon of Scripture. This is the infallible Word of God. That's your faith. You don't question that. So faith is this non-meritorious system of perception based on the confidence and the authority and the veracity of the other person. And who is the authority? God. Whose veracity? It's God's truthfulness. He's not going to lie to you. And so if you're going to demonstrate faith in salvation, then Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of yourselves. Let's make this real clear this morning, okay? Randolph Yeager put it this way. This is a modified, expanded translation. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith to please Him is impossible because it is necessary that he who comes to God believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who are always seeking to know more about Him. Are you that person? Are you, every day that you get up, are you seeking God's will in your life? Are you seeking to learn more about Him? Let's get some principles down. This might shock you, but you need to get these principles down. Number one, if I get you to write, you might stay awake. Lost man is not seeking God. He is not seeking God. The people running up and down around this city today that are not believers are not seeking God. Romans 3:11, there are none who seek after God. There are none who seek after God. And this is Paul quoting a passage from Psalm 14, verse 2. Here's what Psalm 14, verse 2 says. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand Him or seek Him. But they have all turned aside, and together they have become corrupt. So get this clear. People are not wandering around St. Louis this morning seeking God. They're seeking happiness. They're seeking reward. They're seeking something, but not God. Now, two, people will turn to God on occasion. You know that. Like when? Like when a hurricane comes up through the East Coast. Oh, God, make it go away. It's ruining my weekend. They shut down all the casinos down in whatever the name of that place is, Jersey. What's the name of that joint down there where all the casinos? Huh? Yeah, they shut them all. You've been there. You know where it is. They shut down all the casinos. Nobody can gamble. They shut down all the subways, all the buses. They shut down everything. The only thing left open in New York City, according to Dave, the guy on NBC, whatever his name is the liquor stores. They closed even the Starbucks, but they left the liquor stores open. People will turn to God when they're in a jam. But you know what they want. They really want a quick way out, don't they? They want God to make it go away. They want God to make it all get back to status quo normality. But they are not seeking God. Three, the truth is that God first loved you way before you ever considered loving Him. And you have seen that your whole life from John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His uniquely born Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sought you. You didn't seek Him. And how did He do that, by the way? Well, here's your next principle. Romans 1:20. He gave you the ability to know Him no matter who you are or where you're located. Doesn't make any difference. Anywhere in this world, anybody who has the ability to comprehend logic and reason has the ability to know God. Romans 1:20, since the creation of this world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one can ever say, I did not have the opportunity to know God. No one, nowhere. God gave all of us the ability to know that He exists, and the ability to know Him. How? How can you know God if someone doesn't give you a Bible? How can you know God without a Bible? Well, listen to Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show its handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Anybody, anywhere can look up at the sky and say, there must be a God that made this. And there is. So when you finally realize that that tree over there didn't make all that stuff, you saw that tree grow from a little tree to a big tree and die. I don't care if it's in the Sentinel Islands or if it's somewhere in Indiana. The tree didn't make God. The rock didn't make God. The pomegranate didn't make God. So whatever you're worshiping, sooner or later you figure that's not God, and you look at the heavens day after day and night after night and you say, somewhere there's a God. Inside your soul, you have that ability to recognize that. And when you finally realize there is a God who put all this together and controls it, then you may actually want to know Him. And if you really want to know Him, then you got to seek Him. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and freely forgive him. You're going to have to seek him. And you seek him by faith. And you know what's the interesting thing about this? If you genuinely, as an unbeliever, seek to know God, guess where you will go? If you really want to seek to know God, your search will lead you to his anointed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where it will lead you. That's why Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So someone somewhere wants to know God, the search will take him to Christ, because that's the only way he can get to God. Not apart from Christ. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. John 6:47, most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So there's no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. You know that. You understand that. You are a Christian. The average man out in the world doesn't know that. The search for God is going to take him to Jesus Christ, God's anointed Son. Now, how does it start? It starts with GC, God consciousness. That's where it starts. And so this little African guy, or this little Chinese guy, or this little Japanese guy looks up into the sky by day and looks up into the sky by night and says, there's a God. I want to know him. That's called positive volition at God consciousness. And when there's positive volition at God consciousness, there's next is going to be a gospel hearing. And there's positive volition is required there as well. Whenever there's positive volition at the point of God consciousness, there's always, 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 don't ever forget this, there is always an opportunity for gospel hearing. God will not neglect positive volition at God consciousness. I don't care where it is in the world. He will send a missionary. And what does that missionary do? Well, he carries the word of God. Missionaries carry the word of God. They carry the, this is how God speaks to people, through the Bible. Without taking a Bible, without taking a sacred book called the Bible, then you just simply have to say, God is speaking to you through me. Well, how do I know that to be true? Because I've had a lot of people say, God is speaking to me through you. You probably have had that. So I want to tell you what God's will is for your life. The question is, no, is it here? This is where he speaks right here. And this is what the missionary does. He takes this. He translates this into their language so they can hear the voice of God through the sacred scriptures. Without scripture, we never understand the God we seek to know. Psalm 138, verse 2. For you have magnified your word even above your name. God doesn't speak audibly to anyone today. He could, certainly, but he does not. He speaks through that book. He speaks through the Bible, the scriptures. And that's the first thing any missionary is going to do, is he's going to translate the scriptures for the indigenous natives so they can hear God. And what is God going to say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Let me give you an example of this. In the Western Pacific, off the coast of mainland China, lies an island known to you as Taiwan. Might have been there. You been there, Mr. Babosko? You never been to Taiwan? You know what it was called originally, don't you? Formosa. The Portuguese discovered it in 1590, and they called it Formosa. The beautiful island is the word Formosa. And on that island lived native aborigines called mountain people. And those mountain people had a spark of positive volition at God consciousness. Somewhere on that island, someone wanted to know God. In the early 1600s, Dutch missionaries came and ministered to them for over 40 years. Men like George Candidus and Robert Junius had tremendous response to their message on Taiwan or Formosa. Hundreds were converted. Churches were planted. More than 5,000 were baptized during that 40-year period. God consciousness responded to gospel hearing. A small, inconspicuous island was provided truth by our gracious God because He always honors positive volition. And that island today is still a haven of freedom in a region of demonic oppression through communist China. And America is blessed by association with that island called Taiwan today. That's how God works. So as I said to you, faith is a condition required on our part if we expect direct answers from God. So listen carefully to this verse. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early will find me. There's something about this getting up early in the morning before the day starts, before your cell phone rings, before you get a text message, before even Fox News comes on, you know, because that's probably the first thing you do is get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and hit Fox News and check your email, right? There's something about getting up early. I love those who love me, and those who seek me, shakar, seek me early, will find me. In Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you because my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a land where there is no water. And if there's anything that you and I want in this nation today, it's truth. There's no truth in this nation today. There are a few lighthouses of truth like this church and others that are giving out the gospel information, giving out accurate Bible doctrine. But by and large, there are very few places that you can actually get undistorted truth. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst again. That's true. That's salvation. That's eternal life. But as a believer, we thirst for doctrine. We thirst for truth. We seek Him early. Why? So we can know His direction in our life. So we can know His will in our life. So we can know Him more intimately. And if all you do is show up at church and you call that seeking God, you're kidding yourself. You're just going through a ritual that has no reality to it. You are kidding yourself. You're not seeking God. You may be seeking the attention of someone in your church or at this church, but you're not seeking God. Because the rest of the week, you're not even interested in God. You see, when you're seeking God, that's akin to seeking wisdom. And one of the amazing results of seeking God is that you do, in fact, acquire wisdom. I know Joe's taught on this many times. You do acquire that wisdom. Let me give you a passage about this. It's a hymn of praise about the wonders of wisdom. And in this passage, wisdom is a metaphor for God, actually. Listen. Listen to Proverbs 8:23. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning before there ever was an earth. That's God. But it's wisdom speaking, because God is wisdom. And when you seek God and find Him, you get wisdom. Do you know how much pain you save yourself by having divine wisdom? Do you know how much effort and work you remove from your life and the chains and bondage of guilt and religion by actually learning truth because you took the time to seek God? Now, here's the mandate. Proverbs 8:32. Listen to me, my children. For happiness belongs to those who keep my ways. Our Lord taught that in Luke 11:27 and 28. He said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Listen to me, my children. Happiness belongs to those who keep my ways. Hear instructions and be wise. Do not disdain it. That means to ignore it or treat it with contempt. Because whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And then the warning. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me actually love death. So here is the question we want to ask this morning. Whenever you offer Bible doctrine or truth or biblical resources or doctrinal resources to someone, be it your child, be it an acquaintance, you are offering wisdom that ultimately leads to contentment and capacity for life and happiness. Why do they reject it? Why do they not want it? Why, when they have the opportunity that could guarantee them a life of happiness, why would they turn away from it? It doesn't make sense, does it? You seek me first. You put my priorities first, Matthew 6 says, and this is what I will give you. Wisdom says, seek me, and this is what you will have. And you give them that truth, that opportunity to have the most phenomenal life the world has ever seen, and they walk away from it? I mean, like you, I've looked at people, even some of my own family, and said, you know better. Why have you walked away from this? Proverbs 28:5 says, those who seek the Lord understand all. If there's one thing that wisdom offers is understanding, and we'll see that in a minute. It's one of the fantastic four, understanding. People that don't have doctrine don't have any understanding. And so the first thing they will ask you is, why do you think this happened to me? And they're not seeking doctrine. They're seeking attention from you. They're having a pity party, and they want you to pat them on the back and say, there, it'll be all right. Instead of saying, well, you idiot, you had truth and you rejected the truth, you walked away from the truth, and now you're miserable and you want me to tell you it's going to be okay? It's going to get worse. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And you don't want to trust him? You want to walk in the battle arena of life, the arena of contention of this world, without the truth, without doctrine, without the faith rest drill? You're going to be a casualty before you get 20 feet. And there's only one reason why they would reject it, and it's arrogance. Arrogance. Because they have an unrealistic self-image of who they are, and they don't believe they need it. They believe they can handle it on their own. And that's the biggest tragedy that ever happened. Someone to have an unrealistic self-image, thinking in their own mind they don't need God. They have been lured into the cosmic system. They have been sucked into, as you've heard me teach, the cosmic vortex. And they're spinning along out of control. And you know, when they get here, I'm just going to tell you, if they're believers, once they get here, you are not going to get them. You can pray for them. You can intercede on their behalf, but you're not going to intervene. You're not going to do an intervention and grab them. That's not going to happen. You're not going to change their mind. Because why? Because by this time, the scar tissue is building up so heavy. Unless they have a dose of humility from God the Holy Spirit, which means unless they get their fanny kicked so much that their nose bleeds and won't quit, they're never going to come around. And that's what happened to the prodigal son. He came to himself, the Bible says. He finally, when he started eating pig slop, came to himself and said, I think I messed up. I had it better at home. Even the slaves have it better. What am I doing eating pig slop? That when the Bible says he came to himself, that's a metaphor for humility. He had enough humility to go to his father and admit his sin. Arrogant people will never do that. And even though you offer them truth and you give them accurate information, you give them a lifestyle that's here, you give them all the advantages of doctrine and truth and the opportunity to have what we're going to see called the Fantastic Four, when you give them that, and they turn their nose up at it and walk away. You know, I remember this. I took some people fishing to Florida one time. I never forget this. These were just a bunch of good old country boys. And I took them down to Lake Talquin, Florida, to catch some big bass. And so after a good days of fishing, I said, let's go to Tallahassee and get a good meal. Yeah, we'd like a good meal. There were three of them. So I went to an hibachi restaurant, you know, where you sit around the grill and They chop it all up. You know what I'm talking about? You've been to one of those things? And this one guy says, I'll have some shrimp. The other guy says, I'll have the steak. And they start chopping it up and everything. And the guy says, can you put some ketchup on that? And the chef says, well, sir, we don't have ketchup. And the other guy said, do you got some white bread? And the guy said, white bread? He said, yeah. So I put some white bread and sop it up with it. He said, sir, one of the kitchen help might have a sandwich with some white bread. We don't have white bread. I had to take those fellows to Burger King. They would not eat it. I paid for it, a couple hundred bucks. They wouldn't eat it. That's it. I mean, you can give people the most fantastic meal in the world, and some of them just want a Burger King. There's not much you can do about that, is there? Why? I can't answer that question. All I can tell you is when I heard truth, I wanted it. I wanted it so bad because I had spent 22 years living a lie. I had spent 22 years frustrated at who I was and my failures and my faults. And I knew who I was. I knew what I had blown. I knew how I had messed up. And when someone finally said, here's the greatest truth at all. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things became new. I said, what? That's right. You can walk out of this bedroom tonight and you can be a new person. I said, new? That's right. Anything in your life you've done is wiped away. You're in Christ. Now, it didn't take a genius to figure that was a good deal. What does it cost? Nothing. It's free. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that night when I was 22, I accepted the greatest deal the world's ever seen, the free gift of salvation through God the Father, through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. Why would people walk away from that deal? Arrogant. They don't believe it. They don't even believe God exists. And in order to prove that, they got to be God themselves. Because they got to look everywhere in the universe at one time and say, okay, I've searched the entire universe and there is no God. Because if they left one place out and God's there, they're in trouble. So for an atheist to be defensible, he's got to say, there's no God. I searched. An atheist is an atheist by faith. He can't prove it. So he believes it by faith. You are a believer in Jesus Christ through faith. You sought God through faith. Faith in His anointed Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we come back in the next hour, I'm going to introduce you to the Fantastic Four. And I fear we're not going to have time to get through all of this message, but I think you're going to see where our Lord Jesus Christ had this Fantastic Four in His life and how you can have it also. As a seeker of truth. And when you have it, you have a phenomenal advantage on the rest of the world. All right, let's pray together. We are very grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to take an objective look at Your Word. Thank You for this church, for this sanctuary, for the place that we have to pull aside from this world and to concentrate and listen intently to the teaching of Your Word. We pray that You would continue to bless the ministry of this church and the message of Joe Griffin as the Holy Spirit takes the truth in his soul and delivers it to positive volition all across this nation. But our fervent prayer is anyone who hasn't believed in Christ and not received Him as their Savior would seek You today. And that by finding Christ, they may come to know You. What a wonderful thing it is to know You. What a wonderful privilege it is to have the advantages of the spiritual life and the opportunity to have fellowship with Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. So bless this time together we've had this morning and challenge us in the next hour. We ask it now in Christ's name. Amen.